First, it's our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics. News broke today connecting Washington to Milwaukee. Announcements that neither former Vice President Joe Biden nor any other convention speaker will physically travel to Wisconsin for the Democratic National Convention. And President Trump is apparently not going to deliver his acceptance speech in person in Charlotte or Jacksonville. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What thoughts do you have on the party's conventions? Are you glad they're dialing them back, not making them big to-dos in the various cities, including the Democrats in Milwaukee? Do you pay attention to these big presidential nominating conventions when they happen? Have you been to one or more than one over time? What is it like? Is it a tradition that is worth keeping up or a waste of time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Francesca Chambers is White House correspondent for McClatchy. Francesca, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the conventions and with the Democrats. We'd already seen a delay. We've been watching this closely here in Wisconsin, of course, with it being in Milwaukee. Now it's looking like even the main figures won't be there in person. What do we know about what will and won't happen in Milwaukee?
Well, definitely Vice President Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee, will not be there in Milwaukee now. And it does seem tied that he and President Trump made these announcements on the same day, because it was after President Trump said that he no longer had plans to go to a battleground state to give his speech and was likely to give his from the White House that we saw Democrats pull back and say that Joe Biden would no longer travel to Wisconsin. It kind of gave him an out, so to speak, to not have to go there if President Trump was planning to do his from the White House.
Let's look at the politics of this here in Wisconsin. I know the Hillary Clinton campaign was criticized for not bringing her into Wisconsin at key points in the presidential race. You know, people argue whether or not it would have made a difference one way or the other. But is that a concern if Joe Biden isn't front and center in this really tightly contested swing state?
But President Trump has also not been particularly front and center in the state of Wisconsin. And he has said that he would like to be in states doing rallies, but that he can't be given the restrictions in some states on gatherings. And of course, it leaves a big footprint. He has noted, and the White House has noted, when he has to come in with security and Secret Service. And of course, when the president did try to have one large rally in Tulsa, then he had members of his advance team test positive for the coronavirus at that time. So there are certainly concerns for both political candidates about going and having large footprints or gatherings at this point in the crisis.
Let's turn over to the Republican side here and President Trump. I want to give a listen to the president suggesting he's not going to go to Charlotte. He's not going to go to Florida, to Jacksonville, saying maybe the White House. Here he is speaking this morning on Fox and Friends.
So it looks like live from the White House. It's so would you say you're locked in on that?
No.
Okay.
If for some reason somebody had difficulty with it, I could, you know, go someplace else. The easiest, least expensive, and I think very beautiful would be right live from the White House.
You're home there and the bills are all paid for.
So this idea, again, not locked in by any means, Francesca, of the president delivering his acceptance speech from the White House grounds itself. What's been the response to that idea?
Well, there's some concern about the idea of the president doing a blatantly political event from the grounds of the White House. Even when he goes to other states and it's official events and he might talk about Joe Biden and he might talk about the election, there's still official events in which he's there for some policy that's related to the area he's in. But to have an event at the White House for the Republicans in this way is definitely turning some heads.
One of the trademarks, of course, of the president's previous campaign was his big rallies, was these big in-person events. He certainly seemed to like them. His supporters did. Got a lot of media coverage. How much is this cramping his style, a candidate who especially likes these big gatherings?
Well, now the president is doing tele-rallies, as they're calling them. So the campaign is calling into landline phones, including in Wisconsin, where he's had two of these so far, including one this week on Monday. And people can pick up the phone and hear if they want to stay on to hear from the president of the United States. Now, these are lasting about half an hour. The campaign hasn't disclosed exactly who they're calling in the state, but the messages that you're hearing from the president are very predictable for him, touching on the issues that you would often hear him hit at a rally in Wisconsin. He's been focusing on the farmers. He's been focusing on the trade deals, again, talking for about a half hour at these. And they also live stream on Facebook, by the way, for anyone who wants to go back and see what the president's been telling his voters. But that's one way that he's been working around the fact that he can't come to states and have these rallies.
We're talking to Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy, talking about some of the top stories in national politics. Let's bring on a caller on the convention issue at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Jackson County. Tim, hi.
How are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Tim?
Well, I'm wondering now that Joe Biden's going to give his acceptance speech from Delaware, is he going to do that live or will it be taped? Because I'm concerned that the guy can't even follow a teleprompter.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. Do we know if this is planned to be a live speech or a taped one, Francesca?
They haven't specifically addressed that yet. We just know it will be from the state of Delaware. We don't know where in the state of Delaware. They have said that some of the programming for the 2 hours each night that they have planned will be live, and it will be a mixture, however, of live and taped addresses.
Thanks for that call, Tim. And that raises a question on both sides of things here, Francesca. We've got two candidates who, frankly, when they talk live, may say stuff that has their campaign managers, you know, closing their eyes and grimacing. It could be kind of weird this time around.
This is one of the issues that has really emerged in this campaign that you really just hit on, of President Donald Trump's campaign attacking former Vice President Joe Biden along these lines. However, as you noted, President Trump has said a few things at his press conferences that he's had to either roll back or his campaign has really had to sidestep, particularly right before he stopped having those coronavirus briefings at the White House that were going on for 2 hours and offering many opportunities for that to happen, much more so now when they're more controlled and he's only taking a couple questions from reporters each time.
We heard from Gary on email saying Milwaukee and its businesses seems like they're getting a raw deal. Gary says both spent a lot of money and effort trying to win the choice for the venue. It hasn't turned out so well. Gary writes, I understand the reasons, but it seems like some of the Dems need to find a way to reimburse Milwaukee for some of its losses. And I've seen some local politicos, actually on both sides of the political spectrum, Francesca, saying, hey, you better announce Milwaukee 2024 real quick. Do you feel like the Democrats will try to, I guess, I don't know, make up for it in some way in Wisconsin?
That's an interesting question, and I don't think they've gotten that far yet. But in terms of spending money, there's still certainly the Biden campaign and other Democratic actors are still spending money on television advertisements in the state, even though the convention won't be taking place in the same way that it is now. But I would imagine that you'll hear more calls like the one that you just referenced, and I'll be curious to hear what they have to say about it.
Now, you have been following, Francesca, how campaigns are adapting here. You mentioned the tele-moves, the tele-rallies the president has had. And you also are following, I know, changes, shakeups in the president's campaign leadership. What have we seen over the last, month or so now?
So he got a new campaign manager, Bill Stepien. And one of the first things that Bill Stepien has done is he's changed the advertising strategy. I just mentioned the Democrats have ads in Wisconsin currently, but President Donald Trump does not. He's up in four states now, and they are Florida, North Carolina. He is in Georgia and Arizona. And so that appears to be one way that Bill Stepien has really shifted the strategy. Now, that focuses on states with mail-in voting where they expect people to early vote. So the campaign could still shift its strategy back to Wisconsin and other states, but that's not currently the states that they're focused on.
Sometimes people look at a shakeup like this late in the game at a presidential campaign and say, ooh, looks like they're in trouble. They're shaking up the top people. On the other hand, the Trump campaign did something very similar 4 years ago, right?
That's right. And several people who were close to the Trump campaign exactly compared it to what happened in 2016 and said, look how that turned out for him. He won afterwards. And Bill Stepien has more time than Kellyanne Conway did when that happened in 2016.
Let's bring on another caller at 800-642-1234. AJ is with us in Green Bay. AJ, hello.
Hey there. Just a quick pushback from Tim. Can't remember where Tim was calling from, accusing Biden of not being able to read off a teleprompter. Well, that's kind of rich coming from Trump, who's been too busy ingesting bleach and household cleaners trying to cure the coronavirus.
AJ, thanks for the call. This is another case, Francesca. We're going to hear a lot of this kind of talk, I think, for both sides about the capabilities of the opposing candidate.
And even within the people close in the circle to President Donald Trump, in the story that you referenced that I wrote about the campaign shakeup, there were several people who were willing to recognize that he is down to Joe Biden, that he was, at least before Bill Stepien came in, losing to Joe Biden. And one person told me that the problem was the candidate, not the campaign. And they referenced that moment at the podium where the president talked about disinfectant and the coronavirus. And so there's very, you know, few people sometimes are willing to talk on the record about it, but there are people who are close to the president who feel that he needs to do some shaking up as well.
We're talking to Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, a change of topic, the ongoing saga of congressional efforts to negotiate, along with the White House, a new economic relief package. Big, small meaning maybe $1 trillion, still pretty big, or what? We don't know yet. What do you want to see happen? Do you want to see unemployment benefit enhancements extended, or I guess reinstated? Should they continue at that $600 a week level for people who are unemployed? What else do you think money should be spent on, if anything? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with the White House correspondent Francesca Chambers of McClatchy. It's the week in Washington. We're talking about some top national political stories. Let's take another call on conventions and speeches and related themes. Randy is with us in Madison. Randy, hi.
Good afternoon. I've been very bothered that the president has, I don't know all the protocols here, but that the president has been using official White House speeches as rallies. And that tells me, like the Mount Rushmore thing, that was completely a rally. And that means that we as taxpayers are paying for that. Is there any way of enforcing the difference?
Randy, thanks a lot for the call. Francesca, I know people are accused sometimes of blurring lines between this is a, you know, presidential announcement versus this is a campaign kind of thing. Is there concern that President Trump, as Randy says, has just plain crossed a line here?
And every time, as you noted, when there's an incumbent running, and President Barack Obama was accused of this as well, they're accused of using the White House resources for campaign events. And it is worth noting that when the president was just doing rallies, the campaign has to reimburse the White House or pay for Air Force One for all the people who were on it. And certainly when he's doing official events, it doesn't come down the same way. And that is why the president has really focused on the strategy currently of going to states and having official events where he is in battleground states, but he's there to talk about something besides the election so that they can say that it's an official White House event and not run afoul of any laws.
Thanks a lot for that call. Let's move to the big congressional story, and it's a White House story, too, with the possible economic recovery package, another round stalled negotiations lately. I want to give a listen to Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in the Senate, pressed yesterday at a Republican press conference about his party's position. A reporter mentioned Nancy Pelosi's comment to House Speaker about the $600 employment benefit enhancement being a red line for Democrats. And McConnell was asked if he'd support that provision if the White House backed it up. Here's a listen.
We know this is going to be a negotiated settlement. I just said it's not going to produce a kumbaya moment like we had in March or April where everybody voted aye. But the American people, in the end, need help. And wherever this thing settles between the President of the United States and his team that have to sign it into law, and the Democrat, not insignificant minority in the Senate and majority in the House, is something I'm prepared to support, even if I have some problems with certain parts of it.
Okay, even easier said than done, even with all those qualifiers, Francesca, what are you watching for in this constantly moving negotiation story?
At this point, it's whether Democrats or Republicans can agree on anything at all for a big stimulus package. They're very far apart on the unemployment insurance, the extra benefit that the federal government was providing on top of what states provide already. Republicans do not want to reinstate it at the $600 rate that it had been at before. And they most recently offered $400, but Democrats are really stuck on the $600 that it was. So whether or not they can bridge that divide will be a key question. Now, senators are supposed to leave this Friday for recess. At this point, what we're hearing is that that's probably not going to happen, especially not if they don't get this deal. I asked President Trump last night at a news conference whether or not he could take unilateral action by executive order or some other executive action to reinstate that benefit if there isn't a deal. And he suggested that he could, although he didn't go into additional detail of what that action would look like.
Now, we have on the House side of things, Democrats passed a while back another relief package, $3.4 trillion. It includes the unemployment benefits. But what's going on within the Republican caucus on the Senate side? What are the divisions there?
So they do not want to spend that much, and some conservatives don't even want to spend the $1 trillion that Republicans are putting forward. Conservatives inside Congress, outside Congress, feel that deficit spending and the debt has gone up too much already and that they shouldn't be spending that much at this point. And so to get a deal on a package, Republicans who want this deal are going to either have to find a way to work with conservatives in their own party or make a deal with Democrats. And neither of those two things are happening right now.
And what's the White House role in negotiations in all of this?
So White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is helping to negotiate a deal alongside Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. But another thing I brought up at the White House yesterday during the White House press briefing with the White House press secretary was that President Trump himself doesn't seem to be too personally engaged. We don't know of him making any calls to senators on this issue. He is not personally negotiating with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi or Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. So whether or not the president decides to personally get involved in this is also something that I'll be watching.
Talking to White House correspondent Francesca Chambers from McClatchy, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Francesca, you, I think, have written about this. If you're a senator up for re-election, as a third of the Senate is this year, this argument might look different than if you don't have to run for re-election for another 2 or 4 years. How does that factor in?
Particularly for the 23 Republicans who are up for re-election this year, they're defending a hefty number of seats. And so those are the Republican senators that you primarily see that are working to get a deal on this, whereas the conservatives, as you referenced, who aren't on the ballot this year, don't have to be as concerned about facing their constituents during the August recess and coming back empty-handed.
Speaking of Senate races, I know one you feel connected to a little bit in your home state of Kansas. This one got a lot of national attention, the Republican primary for this Senate seat. Share the story with us if people haven't been following that one closely.
So Kris Kobach is someone who has been in the past close to President Trump, but he is someone that establishment Republicans did not want to win the Republican primary for that Senate seat in Kansas. And the reason being that he's a lightning rod for controversy in the state. And there was polling that showed that the Senate seat could go to Democrats for the first time in decades if he were the Republican nominee for that seat. And so last night, Republicans in the state rallied around Roger Marshall. He is a sitting congressman, and he will now be the Republican nominee, and he will face Barbara Bollier, the Democrat in that race. And it is now considered by the prognosticators to continue to be a likely Republican seat.
Yeah, Democrats need to pick up It depends on who wins the presidency, either three or four seats to get a majority in the Senate. But Kansas wasn't necessarily on the Democrats' flight path to get there, right?
It wasn't necessarily, but it would have been if last night Kris Kobach had become the GOP nominee. But now they have a much better chance of taking back seats in Colorado. There's two seats on the ballot in Georgia this year in a very unique election that they're looking at. Susan Collins' seat in Maine is also available. So there may be some other better opportunities for them now.
In our last minute or so, Francesca, what do you have your eye on now over the next week-ish?
I think what I have my eye on over the next week is the same as the next 90 days, which is this presidential election at this point. And although, depending on how everything goes on election day, it could be slightly more than the next 90 days, depending on how long it takes to get the election results in some states and areas. So I hope we'll have another chance to talk about this before then, though.
I hope so, too. Francesca, thanks a lot for joining us today. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy. It's our weekly roundup of some of the top stories in national politics. Talked to her today about some of the big national political stories we've been following, including negotiations continuing today on the next federal stimulus package for economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. You can follow some of the latest news about politics here in Wisconsin and around the country over at WPR.org, or pick up some of those stories and comment on them over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we'd love to hear from you if you feel personally affected in one way or another by the Democratic National Convention cutting back more and more on their plans for Milwaukee this month. Bumped back to this month. If your business has been affected by that, you had high hopes for all the people being brought into the city. Like to hear your story. If you're planning to go to, attend, protest at, whatever, interact with the convention, let us know your story. You can email ideas@WPR.org.